This podcast covers all things health, your body, your brain, and your well-being. Each week, we'll be joined by doctors, as well as the occasional guest, to talk about the health topics that mean the most to you.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So to start off, hemorrhoids, as we all know in practice, are extremely common and can be seen in all age groups from mid-teens upwards. But typically, I tend to find that the peak incidence is around 45 to 65 years of age, with men and women being affected equally. They are essentially caused by increased pressure within the anal submucosal blood vessels, and this causes swelling of the cushions and laxity of supportive connective tissue. And there are multiple predisposing factors to hemorrhoids, including constipation or even chronic diarrhea, straining or a prolonged time sitting on the toilet, things like a low-fibre diet, regular heavy lifting or a chronic cough, pregnancy and childbirth, and increasingly, obesity. Sometimes cirrhosis with ascites can be a trigger, which is something we sometimes forget about. Now, they can be internal or external, as we know. And essentially, there are three vascular mucosal cushions in the anus that protect the anal canal during defecation and help maintain continence. But if these cushions become abnormally swollen, this is what we call hemorrhoids. So internal hemorrhoids originate above the dentate line in the anus, where there are no pain fibres, and so these are usually painless. And many people have these and are unaware they do have them. It's only usually when bleeding occurs or prolapse happens that then prompts patients to seek advice. However, an internal hemorrhoid that's become strangulated or thrombosed is often a medical emergency, as they can be tremendously painful. The more common external hemorrhoids originate below the dentate line, and these are covered by squamous epithelium, and so those are innervated by pain fibres. This is why external hemorrhoids can be both itchy and painful. Now, it's estimated around 30 to 40% of sufferers have both internal and external hemorrhoids at the same time. And as we all know, hemorrhoids may be an isolated occurrence, they may be episodic, or they may be chronic. Now, when we're taking a careful history from a patient with hemorrhoids, there are a number of things to talk about, especially the possibility of any red flags that suggest we may have a pathology going on that is not hemorrhoid-linked. So obviously, any red flags such as a first instance of rectal bleeding, that should always be investigated. If bleeding has lasted more than a few days, if there's blood mixed within the stool, if there's an altered bowel habit from normal, if there's abnormal weight loss, or if there is significant unexplained abdominal pain. Now, mild to moderate cases, fortunately, usually respond well to lifestyle changes and topical treatments. And so simply by advising our patients to increase dietary fibre and push up their fluid intake usually helps ensure that stools pass more softly and easily. And usually just that by itself can cause an episode of hemorrhoids to gradually settle. You can suggest stool softeners or fibre supplements if constipation's a problem. And don't forget to advise about increasing physical activity to help improve bowel movements. And we sometimes do forget to mention that. One of the things we should always mention is the importance of good anal hygiene. So keeping the area clean and dry does aid healing, as well as reducing irritation and itch.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Anyways, here is a quick word from our sponsor.
We take this few seconds off to inform you, our valued loyal listener, about the best health and fitness podcast shows from the Nespod Studios. Join us as we give you the best of the best health and wellness updates you can rely on for the treatment of chronic health problems. Classic functional medicine back to basics, health tips and special updates from the best doctors in the United States of America. Check out this health and wellness podcast shows. Explore Health Talk Weekly, Healthy Lifestyle Matters, Excellent Health Digest, Healthy and Free Daily, and last but not least, Weekly Health and Fitness Corner. Also, check out Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told fiction podcast, for that real life on the go experience with the 27-year-old golden boy, who made our guest invite number one list. He tells us about his story as it happens in real time and in real life. It's Nasty Boy CC, the truest story never told. Go get a load of that happiness, because happiness is healthy as we know it. Join us every week as we continue to provide you the best of health and fitness wellness updates from around the globe. Enjoy the show.
And now, back to our episode.
So rather than wiping post-defecation, cleanse with moist wipes and gently dab the area dry. And advise against stool withholding. I remember an old professor of surgery of mine as a medical student always used to say, boys, never ignore a call to stool. And I never really understood why he said that, but it was actually because of this. And try to avoid straining during bowel movements, if at all possible. Now, symptom management at a very simple level is really quite easy. So advise about warm baths or ice packs and use simple analgesia such as paracetamol. However, it's important to remember that we should be avoiding opioid-based analgesics here, such as codeine, because obviously they can tend to constipation, which is the last thing that we need. Also, avoid anti-inflammatories if there's bleeding. And again, that's something perhaps we can forget. Now, topical hemorrhoid preparations are typically used morning and night and after a bowel movement. And these include gels, creams, ointments, although some may come with a nozzle for internal applications or suppositories. So for internal hemorrhoids, those are the ones that we can use. And they often contain several ingredients, and you almost pays your money and you take your choice here. We've got emollients to ease the passage of stools and just generally protect against sore skin. You've got mild antiseptics to reduce the risk of any infection. Sometimes they've got mild astringents in them to help reduce blood supply to the hemorrhoids, as well as reducing swelling. Local anaesthetics can be really helpful because they obviously can give relief from itching and pain. And corticosteroids can help reduce swelling, redness, and itching. However, a couple of points here important to remember. If you're using a product containing a local anaesthetic, these can cause skin sensitization. And longer-term use of preparations containing corticosteroids can cause problems such as skin sensitization, but also skin atrophy and even contact dermatitis. Now, although there aren't any topical hemorrhoid products licensed for use during pregnancy and breastfeeding, we do know that these are safe. And NICE guidance generally states that the potential risk of harm to the pregnant woman and or the fetus is much likely to be less with simple soothing products than those containing corticosteroids or local anaesthetics. And I think that's obviously a straightforward thing to be saying. Very occasionally, you may have had to admit or refer someone with hemorrhoids. So consider admitting someone with extremely painful, acutely thrombosed external hemorrhoids who present within 72 hours of onset. And this is because excision or reduction may be needed. Occasionally, internal hemorrhoids which have prolapsed and become incarcerated and thrombosed may require a hemorrhoidectomy. And although I've never seen this, but it is a potentially life-threatening complication, don't forget that perianal sepsis is a possibility here. Now, treatments available in secondary care may be non-surgical or surgical, depending on the symptom severity as well as the degree of prolapse. And we all know about these, but just to remind ourselves, non-surgical treatments include rubber band ligation, injection sclerotherapy, and infrared coagulation or photocoagulation. So rubber band ligation is easily done. The band is applied to the base of the hemorrhoid, and quite simply, that strangulated hemorrhoid then becomes necrotic and sloughs off. The underlying tissue undergoes fixation by fibre optic wound healing, and you can band up to 3 hemorrhoids at one visit. And this is very often the best outpatient treatment for hemorrhoids. Only about 2 in 10 people need a second banding within about 6 months for symptom control. Injection sclerotherapy is where phenol in oil is injected into the submucosa of the rectum around the pedicles of the hemorrhoids. And this induces a fibrotic reaction that then obliterates the hemorrhoidal vessels and causes hemorrhoid atrophy. And that provides very good short-term benefit in most people. If infrared coagulation or photocoagulation is needed, this can be as effective as rubber band ligation and injection sclerotherapy in the treatment of first degree and second degree hemorrhoids. And it simply involves using infrared energy to produce an area of submucosal fibrosis, leading to mucosal fixation and a reduction in the tendency to prolapse. I'm just going to touch on surgical treatments because these are required less often than they used to be, but they still are sometimes necessary. Obviously, hemorrhoidectomy still occurs, but only symptomatic hemorrhoids are excised as this conserves the sensitive anoderm for continence. And surgical hemorrhoidectomy confers the best long-term effect with less than 20% symptom recurrence. However, post-operative discomfort can be significant, and there is also the possibility of infection. In a stapled hemorrhoidectomy, a circular stapling gun is used to excise a donut of mucosa from the upper anal canal and lift the hemorrhoidal cushions back within the canal. Again, infection and discomfort can occur, but fortunately, serious complications are rare. Some people can use hemorrhoidal artery ligation as a treatment option using a proctoscope, but recent evidence questions the efficacy of this compared to conventional treatments because frequent repeat procedures are often needed to achieve full symptom improvement or cure. So I hope that you've enjoyed this very brief overview of hemorrhoids, and thank you very much for listening.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.
We have a great show today, but first, take a second to make sure you've subscribed to our show wherever you're listening to podcasts. It's the best way to make sure you don't miss any of our episodes. Thanks.
Please take a moment to follow, rate, and review this podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.
This will conclude the episode. Thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave a comment and subscribe. Thank you.